No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing, bloody murder, molesting, running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around, something else is going wrong. Yeah, tell me, what the hell is going on?
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
Welcome once again to the Rusty Satellite Show. This is your host, Rick Redding, and I am very happy to be here again. The show is about the most interesting people in the Ville, and I talk about some of the most interesting things happening right here in the River City, that things that are going on, current events, all sorts of things. I feel like I ought to have the theme to that Pharrell Williams happy song behind me, because as the weather turns better and we're into the Derby season, I'm getting a little happy. I've got a lot of things, social events on my schedule, and it's just they're all good and everything's good. I'm going to actually get the legislature just ended, so I can quit moaning and complaining about the things that those guys are doing, which are oftentimes horrific and awful, and start talking about happy stuff like the Derby Festival, which did you go to Thunder? I know Wayne Hettinger, our guest last week, told you about how great the Thunder show was going to be, and certainly it lived up to its expectations. I got to see that show from the 15th floor of the Galt House, and it was spectacular if you're into fireworks and cool music and all that sort of thing. And the good news is there were no problems. You know, we've been talking about the mob violence downtown Waterfront Park that happened March 22nd and the reverberations of that. Well, the good news is Thunder went off without a hitch and really was a good thing for the city. I feel for those people. I talked to people personally who told me they were afraid to go down there for Thunder because they thought they'd get mugged by roving black teenagers, and that, you know, that just was unfounded. And the police presence, I will tell you, walking the streets after Thunder, the streets were packed, they were crowded, and there were a lot of there was a big police presence. I walked from the Galt House about I don't know, 6 or 7 blocks, and noticed a high number of police walking and on horses and in cars and directing traffic. So kudos to the police department and the mayor and all the people involved in making Thunder a great event. And now Thunder is a part of the Kentucky Derby Festival, and I'm going to talk about my two guests. I want you to stay tuned, because my second guest is Darren Rogers, who those who aren't closely following the media may not know, but Darren is the guy in charge of media at Churchill Downs, and Darren took me over there, and I'll talk about this later. But stay tuned for my conversation with Darren Rogers. It's one of the better interviews we've done here. And but first, we have Jill Bell, who is a board member of the Kentucky Derby Festival. Jill's got a great story. She started her career as an intern with the Derby Festival, and she's gone on to a great career in communications in this market. She is happens to be a vice president of communications for our sponsor here at the Rusty Satellite Show. That would be Passport Health Plans. But she's really busy at this time of year, and she's been involved in every aspect of every Kentucky Derby Festival event, I believe. And I think you'll enjoy hearing her perspective on what's going on with the Kentucky Derby Festival and her background. So I met Jill out at the out at my favorite Heine Brothers in Westport Village, and we had a great conversation, and here it is.
Learn about the movers and shakers in the Louisville business scene with Startup, Conversations with Louisville Entrepreneurs. A new episode every Tuesday at louisville.am.
All right, and today the Rusty Satellite Show is partying it up with for the Derby Festival with Jill Bell. Jill, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
And with Jill, I must mention for Rusty Satellite fans, is a big shot, a vice president at Passport Health Plans, which is our sponsor on the show. So thank you again for sponsoring the Rusty Satellite. And but you have a more interesting job with the Kentucky Derby Festival. Tell us a little bit about how long you've been involved in.
Well, it's been over half my life. I've actually been involved with the Derby Festival for 31 years now.
Wow.
I started there back in 1984 when I was a senior at U of L. I was a marketing student there, and I was fortunate enough to get an internship with the Derby Festival.
Wow. Are there, like, interns there now that, like, look at you and say, I want to be, you know, 31 years from now or 21 years from now, still doing it?
There are interns there now. You know, I think that's part of the beauty of festival. You know, they really look to find good people to get involved with festival. And a lot of those young people who are either right out of college or still in college do move on up and have an opportunity to work there at the Derby Festival. And okay. It's such a great opportunity because they interact with so many people, you know,
sure.
The mayor's office, the chief of police, the governor's office, all business leaders. You know, there's over 75 business leaders that are on that board, so it's a really great opportunity.
Now, do you, you got to have 31 years. You say 31 years?
Yeah.
31.
I know, now everybody knows how old I am,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, gee, well, you're not double 31, I know that. But what's your... you must have a favorite event that you get involved with.
Oh my gosh, there's so many wonderful events. It's really hard to have a favorite event. I've worked on almost all of them. I tell you what I enjoy personally. My husband and I have the opportunity to go to the Celebrity Day at Churchill Downs, and that's on the Thursday of Derby Week.
Okay.
And it's really sort of become almost Louisville's Day. You know how the Oaks used to always
right.
be Louisville's Day, and now, you know, it seems like Thursday just keeps backing up a little bit. But the celebrities who are in the parade, you know, that day are there at the track all day. And so it's a pretty neat day, and it's up on the sixth floor. And so, you know, I used to have that event when I was on staff there, when I was an intern there. And now it's just a great day to go and relax after all that's gone on with festival, you know, starting with the They're Off Luncheon. And, you know, festival's not just at this time of year anymore either. It's also, mm-hmm. you know, we have a spelling bee, you know, we have the unveiling, you know, festival unveil that happens in January. There's events that are almost going on year-round. We do our workshop for the board in August. So mm-hmm. it's, this is a concentrated three-week period this year, but it also goes on year-round. So I think for me personally, the event where I get to relax and enjoy, you know, what the festival has to offer is really that day at the track. But in terms of where is the favorite event, you know, when you look at the children and their faces, you know, the balloon glow, the balloon race, I mean, you know, to see their faces when, you know, they put that fire, you know, in the balloon and the noise that it makes. And, you know, I remember, you know, when Tommy was a baby, and I still have pictures of, you know, his face. And, you know, and two of his friends, we have pictures of them all together. They're now 19 years old. But, you know, that awe of looking up at those balloons and pointing and smiling. So the kids' faces, so any of those events, so if it's the parade or, you know, any of those events that cause that pure joy and, you know, the look of awe on a child's face, I think would be my favorite events.
Okay. Well, I'll take that. But you know, I guess there's an impression that you're on the Derby Festival Board. You get that wild clothing that they make you wear, and all you do is go around and have fun for 3 weeks, right? And is that what it's really like?
You know, it is a lot of fun. I'll tell you that. I mean, it's fun, but it's a lot of hard work, too. And people don't realize this, but as a board member, you know, you have to pay to volunteer. You know, lots of places, they want you to volunteer, and, you know, and they just appreciate your time. With Derby Festival, I mean, you do pay your way. So you pay for the jacket. You know, you pay to be a board member because there are a lot of expenses
really?
That are around that.
What are one of those ugly jackets cost?
Gosh, my jacket was it was about $250. It's over $200.
Wow.
Yeah. So I remember buying that jacket, and you know, and this is my third jacket because I've been around for so long. You know, the old blue with the gold Pegasus. You might remember. You know, was the first jacket. And then we had that teal green with a bright pink.
Aren't the brown ones?
Now we have, yeah, now they're brown, you know, more of a tan color, you know, with the black Pegasus. And then if you see it reversed out, like you'll see some people with black jackets on and the Pegasus or the tan color. Those are our past chairmen of the festival.
Okay.
So if you see them around, you can thank them for their service.
No, you haven't done that yet.
I have not done that. No, I have not elevated.
I think we're starting a
place.
Campaign right here. Because Jill doesn't have enough to do. But it is, I guess it is time consuming. Do you go to as a and now you're on the executive committee of the board, which is sort of in the stratosphere a little bit even more. How many of these events do you actually attend?
How many do I attend? I would say in any given year I would attend, you know, at least 30 events, I would say. I don't know. I've never really counted. I probably should do that. I think it would be neat to have a passport. You know how if you have a passport and when you travel to another country, you know, you sort of get that stamp.
Yeah.
I should start that. And, you know, it'd be something that passport could do, right? You know, and you have a passport to Derby Festival. And every event you go to, just thought of that. It just came to my mind here. And then have, you know, you could just get stamped at all these events. And then I would really know how many I've been to.
So, all right. So, is there a sense of relief like Derby Day comes and that's about it, right? There. What's the last event?
Actually, you know, for the staff, you know, they've got to do a lot of cleanup right after everything's over. But when the Chow Wagon closes on Derby Eve, you know, that's really when the festival events are over per se. I mean, there may be some events that are on Derby night, you know, that what we call our contract events, where other organizations do the lion's share of putting the event together. It's not our operations people that are doing that. And then, you know, Mike, and I know he's been on your show, Mike Berry, you know, Stacy and the staff, you know, they've got responsibilities on Derby Day too. So they may have, you know, some celebrities that were in the parade that they have to host that day. So they, you know, but for the operations staff, like Matt Gibson, who just does a phenomenal job with Thunder, he's the vice president of event operations. You know, he closes the Chow Wagon down, and depending on the crowd, you know, they may keep that Chow Wagon open extra. You know, it just depends on the weather and the crowd and all that. And
again, that gets to another subject I wanted to bring up. Everybody knows about the Derby Festival, all that goes on, but it's a business, right? And does it make money? How does that happen?
You know, it really depends on the weather, honestly, and the people who come out. You know, we had a very good Thunder this year, thank goodness. And I saw Mike Berry because I actually was on one of the garages, the waterside garage, and had some of my family there. And I saw Mike Berry come by, and he told me at the time that there were. And it was earlier in the day that there were more people who had gone on to into the Chow Wagon with the pin admission at that time of the day than all of last year.
Wow.
So remember what last year was like.
Right.
I think I was on the garage with my parka and freezing. And so, you know, when it's 80 and sunny, then guess what? You know, all the concessions are up. You know.
Well, and we talked about this on the show. I mean, certainly there must have been concerns among the staff about the violence in Waterfront Park, et cetera. Can you say whether or not that affected this year's Thunder at all, and was it a concern going in?
Well, you know, I think you followed the news reports just like everybody else does. You know, Festival has a wonderful relationship with law enforcement, and, you know, safety is always our first concern. But, you know, we leave that job, you know, mainly to the chief, you know, the chief of police. And I think he had a wonderful program in place. I think when he had 1,100 officers, he had the sheriffs down there, National Guard.
Yeah, I saw them everywhere.
Yeah, so you know, I think as a Louisvillian, I mean, I'm born and raised here. You know, whenever something like that happens, I had my 16-year-old and her friend down there. You know, so you think about it a little bit, but, you know, I never thought about not going. And obviously, there were a lot of people who said, heck, we're going. You know, we trust our law enforcement enforcement officers. We trust the festival, and they were there. You know, they were out, right. And I think we had a record year. I haven't seen the numbers yet, but I'm sure we did very well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know for a fact some people who stayed away, but it's still, having been in there myself, it was phenomenally busy and successful, and there were a lot of cops walking the street.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I felt very safe. And I should say, you know, all of us are also trained, you know, in terms of all of our events, so that, you know, we know what to look for. You know, safety is always our first concern. We have safety plans for bad weather. You know, uh-huh. You could get, you know, a pop-up thunderstorm when I'm doing Wine Fest. Wine Fest is one of my events. It's a two-day event. It's down on the Belvedere. You know, a lot of people. There's no, you know, there's not a lot of places you can go, you know, for cover. So, you know, we've got plans for every event. So, I shouldn't say that we leave it completely up to law enforcement. We don't. I mean, we're trained. We have safety manuals. You know, we go through some training also, and we make sure that people who come to our events are safe and that we have a plan of action if we need to take it.
Okay. So, wrapping it up here, let's talk about Derby Day. Where are you going to be on Derby Day?
Well, believe it or not, this year, you know, my son has informed me that he's bringing his friends home from Xavier.
Oh, cool.
You remember those days, right?
So used to bring them home every year.
Yeah, so that means this is going to be the year that I'll probably stay close, you know, closer
just
to the house
the
than usual.
Say, yeah. Have fun, guys.
Yeah, so I'm he's going to bring these a bunch of guys home, I think, on Friday, you know, on Oaks Day, and they're going to spend the night and head out to the track on Derby Day. So I think I'm going to be hosting some college students this year, which should be interesting.
So you don't go out to the track on Derby Day?
You know, I went so many years. I mean, we used to entertain, you know, back in the old days of, you know, I'd have a bus and 30 people, you know, and we would do the ball on Friday night. We'd do the track on Friday, the ball on Friday night, the next day, you know, all day for Derby Day, at
just
dinner on Derby Night. Well, you know, it's fun. It's, you know, and after coming off a festival, so you're already coming off a festival and going in and doing all that, you know, it's, we did it for years, but I'll probably go. My friend has a great derby party, so I'm, you know, and it's not too far, so we'll probably go to the derby party and have some fun and make some bets still there, and it's just more casual, you know. It's you know, we'll wear our hats, but, you know.
See, I took you for an infield person.
Well, back in the day, you know, I did, you know, you're a Louisvillian too. You know how this works. So you start and you're in the infield, right? In Oaks and Derby, you're in the infield. And then maybe you work your way up into the grandstand. You might get a couple tickets to the grandstand. Boy, then you're on the third floor clubhouse. And then before you know it, you're up on
you've
the fourth
it.
Floor, the sixth floor. You know, you made it. It's like, you know, it's like a class thing. You just got to work your way up.
That's right.
You know, and I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt, love it. I, you know, pray for good weather. I sing my old Kentucky home, and, you know, if somebody invited me, you know, I'm sure I'd probably go out there, but at this point I don't have any official responsibility.
Okay. Well, great. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this time on the Rusty Satellite Show. Thanks, Jill, for spending a few minutes with me.
Thanks, Rick. It was a lot of fun.
You love Louisville. You want Louisville when and where you want it? There's something new every day at Louisville.am.
No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to
care. And thank you, Jill, for filling us in on the Kentucky Derby Festival and all that's going on. Really exciting stuff. I hope you get out to some of those events. I know I'm going to be at the parade. I'm going to be at the bed race. I'm thinking about going to the boat race and this week, in fact, the Derby Festival basketball classic has three UofL recruits playing in it. So it's going to be a busy week. You'll get to tune into the Rusty Satellite Show. You probably hear about all that stuff. So this is the part of the show where I talk about things that are going on in the city, things that I know about that maybe you don't, and things that I just find worth talking about. And this might be, I usually call it my top five, Rick's top five stories of the week. It might also be called, this segment might be called the Rusty Satellite Alumni Update. First of all, a little bit of a unfortunate occurrence. At the end of March, if you watch television news around here, a lot of you do, Claudia Coffey, who is was an anchor at WHAS-TV, she is no longer at the station. And now I just talked to Claudia a few minutes ago, and there's been a little bit of mystery around town about what happened to her. And, you know, she can't really comment on what happened with her and the management over at WHAS-TV. I can tell you, I can speculate and tell you that the contract negotiations often are complicated with on-air talent and management. And, you know, WHAS has been... is involved in being its parent company, Belo, was acquired by Gannett. And, you know, Gannett has a reputation in the industry for not keeping employees on or letting people go and cutting back and doing and basically not being good to employees. So we can speculate, but I don't have any hard facts about Claudia's departure. I can tell you that she's in a good mood. She is planning to stay in Louisville. You know, Claudia has gotten all kinds of awards for her work in media around here. She's involved in several charities. This is her home. She moved back here from Washington, D.C. 4 years ago. And she told me today, you know, quote, "I want to stay here. This community is important to me." So I would suspect she has a young son, Jack, that and I certainly know that she's happy in her personal life here. You could probably go back and listen to the Rusty Satellite Show in which she appeared on the show, and you can rest assured that she is very ingrained in this community. So she's looking at other opportunities. I'm sure she's going to find some sort of work in the city, and it'll be interesting to see what that is. So I just want to wish the best of luck to Claudia Coffey as she moves on to her next position in her career, and know that you know, she did want me to say that she's been very encouraged by the reaction in social media. She finally today, April 16th, posted something on Facebook about where she's been, and just noted that she's, all she could really say is that she's no longer with the station, but there's been a great outpouring of support for her. And certainly I want to support her as well, and wish her the best of luck, and glad to know that she's going to stay in this town. She'll probably turn out doing something really great or really important. So big news for another Rusty Satellite alumnus that's at WHAS-TV also is Joe Arnold. If you follow Joe's career, Joe's a political reporter at WHAS-TV. He's really the only TV reporter that covers politics exclusively. And, you know, he was a delightful guest on my show a few months back. And Joe is now got his own show on WHS. It's called The Powers That Be. And it's a weekly 30-minute show about politics, something that I think is, I wouldn't say needed, but it's a welcome addition to the media landscape here in Louisville. The show debuted with little promotion, a little fanfare last Saturday. It's going to air Saturdays at 9:30. I talked to Joe this week. He's very excited. Management brought the idea to him, and he said he jumped at the chance. Was looking forward to getting a lot of the stories that he works on during the week that there's really not time for in the nightly news. He's going to get those on the air. He's going to have guests. His first guests were a couple of political strategists, Bob Gunnell and Les Fugit. But in the future in the show, he expects to have some candidates. It's really, and really the genesis of the show came from the fact that everybody knows that this is a very important election cycle in 2014, primarily because of the Senate race. You know, Mitch McConnell is coming up in the primary in May against Matt Bevin. I'm pretty certain McConnell's going to win that one pretty easily, and then he'll have a sort of a knockdown drag out is what I expect with Allison Lundergan Grimes, the Democratic candidate. There's going to be a lot of issues and a lot of subtle aspects of that race to cover. And Joe's going to have it. He'll do local politics, state politics, all that. So anyway, that's another big thing that's happening for Rusty Satellite alumnus Joe Arnold. So isn't that great? Now my third story is just really briefly. You might check out this week's Leo. I was surprised to see they have published a list of what they call the watch list, 24, 20 somethings to watch. And now I know I'm old, but I don't know any of these people, but they all sound very accomplished, very important. I was glad to see the one at the top of the list is Jason Brown. He owns Brownies the Shed, one of my favorite bars out in out in the East End. So anyway, if you go to the if you go to the piece in Leo, they ask each of the 24 people why Kentuckians why they like the area, and they also ask them what they would do if they won the lottery. So so I don't know. I didn't know. I have met a few of these people. I know Mo McKnight, who owns the Revelry Gallery, is one of the recipients. So good for her. And you know, I really ought to get to know some of these people. They're probably the future leaders of this community. And good for Leo for publishing a list of 20-somethings that are doing sort of important things. Now, not to take you down too much, but my next story I want to talk about is about state government and the sort of thing. Well, here's what happened. There was a representative, John Arnold, who was appearing for the Legislative Ethics Commission. Now, that commission sort of takes complaints about ethics violations and holds hearings and then decides whether or not to punish the accused. And Arnold is accused of doing some silly things like, I don't know, pulling up. There were some female state office workers, and he's accused of sexual harassment, basically. The quote from Yolanda Costner I'm reading right now, it says, "You just have to take a spanking on the butt. You have to take having your underwear pulled. You have to take being verbally assaulted, and nobody is going to care about it." Now, why did she say that? She said that because this ethics commission did not. They needed 5 votes to basically punish Arnold for find him guilty of an ethics violation. They got 4 votes. The commission has 9 people on it, and 4 of them weren't even present. So the vote was 4-1, and the one guy that prevented Arnold from being from being, I guess, convicted or held in violation of the ethics of the state was a guy politically connected to Greg Stumbo. And of course, this commission thing, it prompted an outcry from a lot of people in the legislature and around the state. And you know, of course, the legislature reacts by trying to come up with a new law or try to do something different so this doesn't happen again. You know, I would suggest that if somebody's going to be on the ethics commission, they'd be required to come to the meetings. I mean, that would be the simple thing. If one of the 4 members of the commission who were absent had been there and had voted to convict, you know, we wouldn't go through this exercise. It wouldn't be leading the newscast. It wouldn't be something that we're talking about all the time. Arnold would just, you know, and really, how wrong is it to do those things? Speaking of wrong, just a story that came out of that thing. This guy named Jim Gooch, who's another rural legislator, he was accused by the same people of like pulling out a pair of panties and throwing them on a table where these same women were present. So just, you know, grow up is all I can say. These guys need to be taken out of office and shown the door and made to stop embarrassing us. You know, we got enough problems in Kentucky with, you know, with the legislature being unable to pass gambling and all this long list of things that they didn't do. And I say it's really a do nothing session. And now I just heard on the radio as I was coming in here that they did not get there was a bill up about heroin legislation to make, you know, we have a real heroin problem out in the state. And there was a bill that would address that, and it didn't pass. And now they want to come back for a special session so the taxpayers can pay all those legislators more money to come back and vote on something and do something they should have done in the regular thing. So anyway, that's sort of what's going on with state government. Thankfully, the legislature's over with. We'll see if they get a special session. We'll just have to wait and see. All right, brighter topics. How about this? It's like 2 weeks till the Kentucky Derby. if you can imagine. I was fortunate to go over and have Darren Rogers on the show. Darren is the guy in charge of media over there. He grants, you'll hear in the interview, 2,000 media credentials to the Kentucky Derby. That's a lot of people to be in charge of. And he's got a big job. It sounds like it's one of those cool jobs. It sounds like it's really fun. But Darren also showed me around the track a little bit. All the new stuff on the, you know, the area down by the starting gate is totally transformed, and there is a new vantage point they built up above the bleachers down there in the basically it's in the stretch, in the turn for home, and it's just a great vantage point to see the race and see what's going on at the track. I also saw this, you know, you may have heard about this video board, but to hear about it and then to see it in person is just, it's just really something. I can just imagine. You know, I went to the Derby a lot of times, a lot of different vantage points, and a lot of those times I couldn't see the scoreboard. You can't see the odds, you can't see what's going on. This new video scoreboard is really something. It's something that no one in or from around here. The only thing you really compare it to is the video board at Cowboy Stadium in Texas. So it was really great to see all the changes. They got a lot of work to do before the track opens next Saturday, but you know, they always get it done. Don't worry about that. They will get it done. It's a totally different look in that area of the track, though, and I imagine those are going to be some really good tickets if you can get into that area. It reminded me a little bit of the area they built over at Papa John's Cardinal Stadium, which is sort of a concrete porch way up a little bit on the south end zone. And this looks like an area that could be a little bit like that, a great place to stand around and talk and drink and, you know, watch an occasional horse go by. So anyway, I think you'll want to hear this interview with Darren Rogers. It was a lot of fun, and to know his background and how he came to be where he is and what all is involved in his job. So here's Darren Rogers with Churchill Downs.
And today I'm here at Churchill Downs, the legendary place, with Darren Rogers, who has this great title, Senior Director, Communications and Media Services. Welcome to the show, Darren.
Happy Derby, Rick.
I tell you, I'm very excited. You know, I know it's about the time of year you start working because, you know, you goof off most of the rest of the year, right?
Feet's kicked up on the desk and eat popcorn the rest of the year. Yeah, no, we, you know, amazingly, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, we do think Derby almost, you know, 24/7, 365 right. days a year. The week after we will run this year's Derby, we do a big review of what went right, what went wrong, and we start planning for the following year. And for us at Churchill, a great majority of us, it really kicks into high gear right around that. I always say that third week in January, uh-huh. that Thursday of the third week in January yeah. is always 100 days out. And once you get to within 100 days, right. You know, hold on to your hat. It's it's full speed ahead. So yeah, we're bustling with activity.
Yeah, I know your colleague here, John Asher, mm-hmm. seems to always be reminding people how many days it is till Derby. So. So how many days are we from Derby today?
Well, today we are 18 days. Wow. Now we're within the teens. We're so right. that's why I balk and pause when I answer that question. Yeah, 18 days.
Now you're not from here, so you didn't. No. But your Derby experience. How long have you been here, and what did you know about it before you came?
Sure, this is my seventh Kentucky Derby, and this happens to be my 20th year working as a publicist in the horse racing industry. You know, I didn't grow up in a horse racing family, but my father and my Uncle Joe were great horse racing fans. And okay. It was one of those activities on the weekend. I grew up in Southern California. My father would take me out to the track probably about 5 days a year for the big races. I remember you know, watching a spectacular bid and Affirmed out in California. And my Uncle Joe, he was such a horse racing uh-huh. fan. When he left high school, he played professional softball and traveled the country. And he was in Madison, Wisconsin in 1955 and actually hitchhiked to Washington Park in Chicago to watch the great match race between Swaps and Nashua.
Wow.
So, and so, you know, we were always horse racing fans. I got the bug and worked my way into the industry, actually served an internship out here at Churchill Downs for the 1994 Breeders' Cup. Previous worked about 5.5 years out in Southern California at Hollywood Park in Santa Anita, and then spent 9 years at Lone Star Park in Dallas before coming here to Louisville. I just keep going further east. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's a good thing, and hopefully you're stuck here.
We love it. For a while. Absolutely love it. You know, I'm a Californian by birth, but a Louisvillian at heart. It's a great place to raise a family. My wife and 8-year-old son, we absolutely love it here.
Well, great. Now, a lot of people outside, you occasionally pop up in the media and interviews, et cetera, but I think a lot of people don't really have an idea of what you do here at this office. When I'm here Derby Day or Oaks Day, I see
a
zillion people walking around and you know, I don't know where they're from or what they're doing, but it's busy. I know that.
Yeah. We credential 2,000 members of the media that come in from all over the country, all over the world, in fact. And, you're part concierge. It's about 250 different media outlets.
Okay.
And so typically you're dealing with one individual from each media outlet, trying to set up and make sure that they have everything they need in order to, get their coverage and a lot of times it's requests for interviews with certain individuals here at the racetrack. It might be getting certain access to talk to maybe a celebrity or a VIP.
And I know, but just to interrupt you, your job isn't like being like a football SID somewhere where, you got the locker room and the press box.
It's all
like
over the place.
There's like 20 different levels of.
Well, we're also dealing, in our athletes, and, obviously not including the horses, which don't do interviews, but, our jockeys, our trainers, the owners and breeders, they're all independent contractors as well.
Right.
So unlike other leagues, they're not obligated to do anything. So you try to set things up, organize it, make it as efficient as possible to disseminate the news. We're here to, generate coverage for the Kentucky Derby, the Kentucky Oaks, nationally, internationally, locally, regionally, and then the rest of the year, we're still trying to generate interest and make people appreciate different sides of stories from Churchill Downs' point of view of on an annual basis in this horse racing industry, we're faced with difficult decisions to make, and we know it's going to emotionally touch different customers at different times, and you can't make everybody happy, but you try your best, and you're making decisions, best run your business.
And you have to, I guess the tough part of you have to be one of the guys that tells people things they don't want to hear, right? You gotta say no every once in a while.
Yeah,
right?
You do have to say no every once in a while. The Derby's a great example. I mean, I appreciate anyone who shows their enthusiasm. I was one of those people, by the way. Mm-hmm. When I first cracked into the business, I was a sports director at my college radio station. I remember I applied for a media credential for the Santa Anita Derby, and I think it would have been 1992. And they were gracious enough to give me access, albeit limited. And, while we're happy to do those types of things, most of the rest of the year, we do have to be picky and choose what outlets are going to get access for the Kentucky Derby, because we want to best serve those that are here to generate those news coverage. But we do have to say no.
And I guess fortunately, you have a lot of different places. But I guess in the last few years, the press situation, the press box situation has changed a lot.
Yeah,
kind of got pushed out of the. The upstairs area, am I correct?
Yeah, the old press box was located on the sixth floor of the clubhouse, high atop the grandstand, and that area has been renovated into the mansion, which is an outstanding private and secluded area, really very exclusive. Right. It's got key card access right now. I can't get up to the mansion to take you right now to show you.
Well, I've heard people say that it was just too nice for the media, right?
Well, that's it is today. but you know, yeah, these are changing times, and that is a great business decision that and it was one of those difficult decisions that we've talked about. The media center was a space on high level real estate, especially for the Derby, and that's a space that really is only utilized for 1 week of the year. So we've made the best of the situation. You know, we invested $3 million down here to make a simulcast center that doubles as a media center. While we don't have a view, we've got from our workstations. We do have viewing for the media in section 322, and you know they were requesting if we could put in a TV this year, you know, around the area. I said we'll get that covered. We've got a $12 million TV now, the new big board that when people see this, Rick, I'll tell you what, it's something you really can't describe. It is 30% larger than the video board of Standard, you know, at Texas Stadium, Jerry Jones built for the Dallas Cowboys. We're just doing the testing now. It's got more than 9 million pixels of light, and it's going to be 4K technology, the world's largest outdoor video board. And I think it's going to really change the customer experience here at Churchill Downs. And it's not just for Oaks and Derby. A lot of people think this is just being utilized Oaks. No, this is year-round, every race, every day. And it's great for those infielders, you know, with the general admission ticket. They're finally going to be able to see a horse race.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I've complained about that. I've seen the Derby about every way you can imagine, from drunk college student to first rail to media guy. And you know, I can remember being in a lot of places where you couldn't tell what was going on.
What was going on from a visual standpoint, but now that we have this great visual, we also added 750 new speakers around the entire facility, including the infield. So you'll have audio and video to accompany that experience, and that's something entirely new for those customers. And I've said this to a number of people, you know, people at what makes the Derby special, and we can talk about all those things that make it great, but when you look at how many championship sporting events can you go to on the day of the event and buy a general admission ticket? And the Derby is one of those special activities.
Right.
I can't think of any others. I mean, you're not going to be able to go down to the Masters last week. You're not going to be able to go to the Super Bowl, et cetera.
So what's an infield ticket cost this year?
$50.
$50?
Yep, still $50.
I can remember paying $10.
Yeah, well, those were yesteryears. And, yeah, $35 for the Oaks. Yep.
Okay. Well, that's a good deal. Well, I just want to wrap up here. Our time's about up, but you also have a big responsibility. I know we have a big party during the week, right?
Oh yeah, big party. always a big party everywhere. Which party?
The media party, right?
Oh yeah, we're going to do it different this year. Immediately right after the post position draw, which is Wednesday from 5 to 6, we're going to have an after the draw party. So in the same space that we have that, we're going to continue the party, keep it going until 11 o'clock at night. With keep all our media friends happy with some free hors d'oeuvres and meals and libation.
That is one of the best parties of the year. So, and a week full of them, so it's really great. So, you know, I guess you're just gearing up. This is the calm before the storm. Right?
I don't know if I'd call it calm, but yeah, the winds are starting to pick up a little bit, and it will be stormy. I tell you what, a great story this year. The media darling's going to be Art Sherman. Okay. Art Sherman, who is the 77-year-old trainer of California Chrome. Not only is it Art Sherman in 1955, I mentioned Swaps earlier, he was the 18-year-old Gallup boy for Swaps, rode in the boxcar from California, slept with the colt en route to his victory in the Kentucky Derby. He's finally got a good horse as he's trained on his own, and he's 77 years old. He's a favorite and a deserving favorite, and it's going to be exciting to watch this story unfold.
Okay. Well, great. Well, Rusty Satellite fans heard it here first. And Darren,
and he's going to win the race.
Is going to win? It's going to be California Chrome, it sounds like. So we can just relax on that and not worry about the other horses. So, again, Darren, thanks for having me in before all the activity gets started.
All the best, Rick.
Thank you again, Darren, for showing me around over there at Churchill Downs. And, you know, our listeners, you ought to be excited about the Derby by now. Not sure who I'm going to have on next week, but certainly it's likely to be Derby related or maybe something else. It'll be a very interesting couple of people, I'm sure. The Rusty Satellite Show comes to you every week from the studios at Louisville.am. Check out the other shows on the network with Dan Binderhide's group. We have Dan's show about startups. There's a family fun show. There's shows about sports and various things. I know there's a beer show because the keyboard here is still sticky from where those guys have been in here doing their show. So anyway, it's really great. I really appreciate the opportunity to do the Rusty Satellite Show here, and hope you'll tell your friends about it, download the show, and tune in again next week. This is Rick Redding.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city. Airplanes in the buildings, never time.